tomorrow's?
It certainly is, and I will be there.
Oh, I look forward to meeting you.
All right, I look forward to meeting you.
Let me congratulate you again on an absolutely fascinating program.
Well, George, I thank you.
Thank you.
One other thing. You obviously made a point of keeping the location of the microscope, and I had the impression the name of his assistant to yourselves, and I think that was a very good idea. I think that care should be maintained in the future.
It will be.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, George. You see, the real genius is out there among the people, not among necessarily the bushy brains of academia. You're on, Andre.
Oh, hi, Bill. How are you?
All right.
Okay. Well, since I'm involved with biomagnetics and all that, I'd like to ask about the electron microscope. You mentioned that. If I understand it right, no living material can be exposed in an electron microscope because it would kill it. And this microscope, it actually saw the viruses living and swimming around and so forth?
Well, in most of the cases, again, in the electron, this is what happens when a specimen is put in a complete vacuum and bombarded by electrons. Now, with the Rife microscope, living organisms could be viewed for hours and hours on end in a natural state. But here's even something more fascinating. The lens, the actual slide, did not have to be stained. Now, it was a concern that Rife and the other individuals had that when you stain slides, you are already altering the appearance of those microbes. And with this principle, you were not staining the slide either, and they felt you were looking at the genuine microbe, virus, or bacteria.
And one thing about this generator, now this is separate from the microscope, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is this, you're talking about radio waves, electromagnetic waves, and is this in combination with the with permanent magnets, or is this just a radio generator?
It was a radio generator, and he also ran the frequency through a tube that had a gas in it. There was a little bit more to it. As I said, it's this is one of those things that a little bit of information can be dangerous, so we're not being able to explain and visibly show the entire device. Basically, it was a generator where he ran the waves through a tube that had a gas in it, and that went directly towards the body. He never touched the physical body. It was projected at the body.
A caller a while ago talked about Nikola Tesla. And Tesla was coming up with an X-ray device before Rontgen. I hope I pronounced that right. And this sounds a bit like what Tesla had.
I think you can trace so many things back to Nikola Tesla and what he was doing in the turn of the century. This is why we would just not doubt that there was a knowledge, there was an awareness. Wright certainly knew all about Nikola Tesla.
Mm-hmm. Okay, two final quick questions. Have you ever heard of a cancer holistic healer named Norman Baker in the 20s?
No.
He operated a clinic in a little city called Muscatine, Iowa, and he got in conflict with the AMA, and they got after him and so forth. But he was using vitamin A way back then, which, of course, the establishment now is touting as a cancer preventative and treatment. So it shows you, a lot of treatments were around in the 20s and the 30s, but they were suppressed. And could you give your address again and perhaps your phone number?
The address is 15300 Ventura Boulevard, Suite 405, Sherman Oaks, California, 91403. And the phone number is area code 818-907-LIVE, L-I-V-E.
That's a good phone number.
Easy to remember.
Yes. I wonder if John Bedini might be interested in this device. If he looked it over, perhaps you could ask Bill Jenkins about that. And
Well, I know that John Bedini has been meticulously through the foundation and is quite familiar with the microscope and the generator and how to make it.
Hey, that's great. Well, I'll try to make it to the health expo next
The whole life expo.
Whole life, yes. Okay. I really enjoy your show. This is really great.
All right, Andre. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
We're 22 minutes past 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, and we're talking to Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Bill, Steve, and Laverne. I won't keep you long because your previous caller basically has had you answer most of the questions about frequencies. I was wondering whether it was sound waves or radio waves, because you had mentioned that in one of the experiments, a certain shape of glass had broken. So I was taking it to be sound waves, although you're saying now it's radio waves. Is that my understanding?
No, you're correct in that they were experimenting with a wide range of frequencies, and that one day, that one letter, that one paragraph of one doctor writing to the other was that particular comment that something had gone haywire with the device. It had kicked up to a range, and he did not write in the letter what it was, but that was the effect it came, that it literally destroyed every test specimen. The animals were all fully alive and well. It destroyed all the microorganisms simultaneously, which is even hard for us to believe, but I'm just reporting what the letter said.
Then it was some sound type of frequency, whether it was in the hearing range or not at that point. And you were saying that a millisecond was enough. Why wouldn't we have heard that frequency naturally during our lifetimes? That would have wiped out all of the apparent diseases at the time. If it's only necessary for it to last a millisecond, shoot, we listen to a variety of frequencies of sound all day.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't we have stumbled across that frequency?
It may be that we have, but I'm not sure that we would even be able to acknowledge that we had. I mean, we do hear certain things that seem to make us feel much better.
Yes.
So it may be in the course of a lifetime that you have stumbled across such a frequency in you. That's why you may not have had such a problem. But at least with this device, we'd be able to duplicate it and knowingly be able to utilize it.
Right, and you were saying that one or two other characteristics were necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something along the lines of maybe a wave that's more complex, like a modulated carrier wave? Or
yes.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, last week, I think, with Greta, Bill, there was, I think you mentioned then, something or made reference to an electronic or electrical cure for disease. Is this what you're referring to at the time, or is it something different?
Well, certainly I was aware of this, naturally, knowing that this show was coming up. I'm also aware of a lot of the information that came out of the bioenergetic conference that was held out at the at Universal City last November, and other research that's going on right here in the Los Angeles area, dealing in electronic medicine, if you want to call it that, which is the way medicine is going to go, because it works.
It does seem to be a thing, yeah. Does that mean that there is, I'm sure there's a lot of different research in different areas along the same lines. Are they all going to end up finding that there is one common frequencies or way of doing this to effect a cure? Is it all going to come to the same focus, the same cure, or are there going to be multiple ways of approaching disease by electrical means?
Well, I think you're going to see magnetics are used and are working very well in some areas. Certainly electromagnetics. I think that the breakthrough in electromagnetics has been in understanding the potential energy that's found in the scalar wave.
Yes.
Which is probably the strongest thing now. And I'm not so sure that we weren't dealing with a form of scalar waves.
That's what
with the energizer of the Rife that Dr. Rife was using.
Right. Yeah, so you just don't know in that particular freak occurrence in their laboratory that day what sequence of events and what they stumbled onto that eliminated it. It just hit a frequency. And again, from that letter, they had a multitude of different viruses and bacteria that they were working with at the time. And it was just kind of humorous, because when you go and you read the old letters from people who do not expect it to be public record, they were just writing matter of fact. And the individual writing the letter said, we pinched ourselves to see if we were all alive or if we had died. Because they looked and all the animals, they started running immediately tests, all their slides, everything was completely altered.
Right. Bill, I just want to say this has been the last few weeks of your program. It's been some of the most interesting and yet frustrating shows that I've heard. Everyone comes on, they're brilliant, they have brilliant ideas, brilliant research, although they're being ignored, or perhaps it's just to the point now where they're starting to be recognized by those who will get the information out and make it useful. But it's been frustrating to hear everyone that's come on, including Greta, and I think John was on OptiSonics and all
mm-hmm.
that. It seems that everybody can get to a certain point about what they're wanting to discuss, and then they're held back that they don't feel they can go ahead and give out more information, or maybe that information isn't available in some cases.
Well, it's interesting to know these people.
I'm sure it is.
And their determination, and all of them, without exception, are really dedicated to helping mankind.
Yeah.
And if you enter the commercial place for funding, no one understands that kind of talk.
That's right.
You know, we have a society that is a greed-motivated society, and unless you're going to be greed-motivated, they don't understand your language.
And we'll do something about that.
Well, it really...
You're doing something about it.
Well, it really ends up to people like yourself in that what we are trying to do is create a facility where this information is available and readily available for people to make up their own mind. And to, if they have greater awareness than even than we ourselves have, they can do even greater things with this data. So our foundation, we don't feel frustrated at all from the standpoint that we live in a country that we can set up this foundation, this library. We have the data available. Now the responsibility is on you and the other people to take a look at it, and maybe it's a little out of some people's range or thought process, but take a look at it, see if it's valid, and then all of us together can make a difference.
Right. Very good. Stephen Laverne and Bill, thanks very much, and I'll let you get on to your next caller.
Thank you.
You might get frustrated next week, Jim.
Who's going to be on next week?
We're going to have Dr. Maxine Asher on with a whole hardcore list of data that supports the existence of Atlantis, but try to get anybody to check in on that. I mean, we're looking at photographs under the ground, buildings under the water, roads under the water.
Sure, I've seen some of those.
But nobody seems to care.
Oh, well, they will.
But they will.
This is the time for it. All right, thank you very much.
All right, Jim, thank you for your call. It's 11:30 on a Saturday night. I'm Bill Jenkins, and Steve and Laverne Ross of the World Research Foundation is with me, and so is Lorenzo.
That's Renzo, actually.
Oh, Renzo.
Bill, I have a question for Steve.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let me make an observation. Steve, earlier on during the program, a caller was asking you about the actual frequency range on these vibrations that are being used to cure disease, and he asked if it was on the microwave range, and you said yes. Let me remind you that during the time when Lee DeForest was making vacuum tubes, he didn't even dream that microwaves could exist. I am kind of interested in finding out what kind of range was it that they were using. Was it on kilohertz, megahertz? I know it wasn't gigahertz.
Mm-hmm.
Can you specify more about these frequencies?
Well, actually, to comment, one of the listeners was the one who said the microwave. We didn't say that.
Your reply was just, maybe you didn't understand what he said. I believe there were two persons talking at the same time, but
right.
He did say microwave, and your reply was yes, and I was kind of surprised at the moment.
Well, Lee DeForest would have been surprised, too, as you mentioned. But there was a broad spectrum of frequencies. You would think on those viruses, the bacterias, that they would have been rather close in frequency, but it was in the radio wave frequency, a million cycles for some, 250,000 cycles for others.
That's basically on the low megahertz.
Right.
Actually, The radio station where you are right now is 790 kilohertz.
But see, you're dealing with the numbers that were on their work logs based on the device that they built at the time.
What was the highest frequency that they were able to provide with this generator?
I don't have any idea. We don't have any records on that.
Oh, it's a pity.
Yes, believe me, it is. A lot that's a pity, yes.
That's the reason that the research needs to be continued so deeply. So
and this is another reason why I'm glad you brought this up, that we're not running out willy-nilly making all sorts of statements and calling and crying for the donations to build something right away. We're trying to accumulate from as many areas as possible as much data so that we can revalidate this and have something that's performing and that is safe. And we're not going to run out because you yourself, you're obviously very educated in this field. This is not an area that you start playing around with and hitting all sorts of frequencies.
Well, we are bombarded by most of these frequencies every day. Right now, I am being bombarded by 790 kilohertz coming from KABC.
Well, I hope it's a gentle bombardment there.
If you live two blocks down the street from where you are, you will consider that to be a bombardment of radio frequencies.
Well, I'm sitting 100 yards from the tower here.
I think it's more beneficial then it can be the detrimental. I really like this bombardment of frequencies of 790, but in any case, I'm interested in other frequencies too, and I wanted to find out if there was some more specifics about the research that was being done 50 years ago.
No, not really.
Not hardcore data, but there's enough data there to start there and do proper investigation and proper experimentation. But you're right, we do live in a lot of electronic smog. Now, if they'd take all the 98 other radio stations off the air, leave this one, that would help the smog a lot, wouldn't it?
I think it would. I have one more question for Steve. The last two times I heard the address being given, I didn't get the zip code for the World Research Foundation. Can you give your zip code once more, please?
I'll have Laverne give it. I think she does it much better.
It's 91403.
I'm glad you didn't ask me mine, because I can't tell you.
Okay. I got 914...
Oh, 03.
I have 23. 91403.
Yes.
Okay, Renzo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, Al, it's your turn.
Yes. Back in 1930, I was about 14 years old.
Well, listen, you've been around a while.
Yes, I've been around a while. At that time, I remember there was a sort of a war going on between the doctors and the chiropractors. And the doctors felt the obligation to protect the public from these chiropractors who didn't know what they were doing. The chiropractors started to have electronic machines in their offices that were healing people with waves.
Terrible.
And the doctors got very upset about this and said it was a lot of humbug. And they actually got a law passed, and the law officials came out with axes and went into the chiropractor's office and chopped up the machines. And it may be just a quirk of our human nature that this wonderful thing was lost back then, because probably the doctors thought they were doing the right thing at the time to chop up the machines. But it certainly stopped all research in that area, and you were a humbug if you were connected with it, you see.
Even though it's interesting to note that physicists have been very aware of that, and again, this was a theme of a congress that we held recently, bridging the gap within the health field between physics and medicine.
Yes.
You have structures. You have individuals who can now prove the existence of a lot of very ancient techniques, and I don't want to go too far off the subject, but I think this would be very apropos. In our November Congress, we had two French MDs who work at the Nuclear Medical Hospital in Paris, France, who injected radioactive isotopes into the acupuncture points and, using gamma cameras, were able to visibly display the entire classical acupuncture system 100%, as it's been stated for thousands of years. My point really is that as science finally catches up with the ways to measure some of these energies, they are not invalidating all of the old techniques. In fact, they're proving a lot of these techniques exist. Now, in this field of electromagnetics, our problem is that the data has really always been there, but the medical establishment, for some reason, doesn't always go by the laws of physics, because if they did, they would be more inclined to follow these exact techniques that we're talking about.
Besides, they'd never get out of college.
No.
But listen, if Mexico will put up with Leotrell, maybe they would stand for somebody having a machine down there that the cancer people could walk in front of.
Why should we have to run and leave our country to go to cross the border to have... And I know exactly what you're saying. We agree with you, too. What we're asking the people really to think about is, shouldn't we try all the different possibilities and see what might be additionally helpful for us. And that's all the three of us are really even talking about on this show.
You won me over.
Oh, good.
Good to have you aboard.
Yeah, Sister Kenny had a bad time, too.
Most of the great innovators did.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
That's all. Thanks.
Thank you.
Wonderful program.
Much.
Bye.
Good to have you aboard. 22 minutes away from midnight on this Saturday night with Steve and Laverne Ross of the World Research Foundation looking into the tragic story, really, of Royal Rife, his microscope, what he found that could have benefited all of us. But it was perhaps at the wrong time, at the wrong place. We'll be back in just a moment.
Idea of the personality of Rife. In an article that was titled Disease Germs Destroyed, Claim of San Diego Scientist, Cancer Blow Seen After 18-Year Toil by Rife. This article that appeared in 1938 said, the discovery promised fulfillment of man's age-old hope for a specific destroyer of all his infectious diseases. Although Rife avoided any claim that he had established this yet, we do not wish at this time, Rife commented, to claim that we have cured cancer or any other disease for that matter. But we can say that these waves or this ray, as the frequencies might be called, have been shown to possess the power of devitalizing disease organisms, of killing them when tuned to an exact particular wavelength or frequency for each different organism. This applies to the organisms both in their free state and in living tissues. And I think that gives you a good idea. He was a very conservative individual. He was not one of these people making wild claims. That's a very, very conservative scientific statement.
He was just saying we can't say we cured cancer, but we can kill all of the little mechanisms that call it.
That's right.
And let you
make up your own mind,
or if you have it, get help.
Right.
Which is the bottom line, isn't it? More important than anything else. You're wrong, Patrick.
Hi, Bill. I've been listening to your show for about a year now, and if you take all the people that have been on your show and all the theories and stuff that you've exposed to the public here, it would seem like this world would really be different.
It would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The thing that upsets me, or that I don't understand is a better way to explain it, is how can all this technology and all these ideas either be squelched or lost to the point where we can't find them? Like the microscope and stuff.
I guess the sweet part of it is that they always surface again. So we do end up finding them when the time's right. But I know what you're saying is what happens to them in the interim.
Yeah, well, what brought the question to mind was the fact that you had mentioned earlier a conspiracy or that he had lost the notes, and I wasn't quite sure. I missed the first hour. I wasn't quite sure what it was.
Well, basically, to sum up quickly, you have a device that had hundreds of newspaper articles, was used in the most prestigious scientific and medical establishments across the country, was 10 times more powerful than any microscope even in existence today of a light source, and yet there is not one mention in any book on the history of microscopes. The articles that appeared in the magazines, if you search through computers, you can't even find the name Royal Rife even existing. This is kind of what we were talking about, and we really literally backed our way into the idea that obviously something happened, that a 50,000 power microscope just disappeared.
We can take the point that what happened was greed, and we have a lot of examples throughout history, and perhaps the most notable one was that of Nikola Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you were to take Tesla's inventions out of our society, it would fall flat on its face. But he provoked the ire of J.P. Morgan because he wanted to give the people free energy.
Right.
That was the basic problem. Of course, J.P. Morgan thought giving the people anything was insane and immediately jerked all of his support of Tesla. He had great influence in Washington. His name began to disappear from the textbooks and from the encyclopedias. You can look into the Encyclopedia Britannica, the brand new one. The article on Tesla in there is less than a column. The article on Edison, on the other hand, who was not near the giant of a genius that Tesla was, takes up almost the entire book of E. So,
has there been any kind of papers or documents to suggest that there was some kind of J.P. Morgan to Dr. Wright or Rife?
Well, yes, he did have some problems with individuals who just happened to have been high elected officials of the AMA, who also were very heavily invested in the pharmaceutical companies and insurance companies.
Mm. It's just too bad. It really makes me upset. Okay, well, that was it.
Okay.
Well, the thing is we all can be upset, but we look at the positive aspect, and that is that in those times, things seem to kind of be lost very easily. But in today's society, I think a lot more people, thanks to the medias we have, can find out. And just the same way that Laverne and I heard a little bit about it, we hunted and hunted and hunted, and it did exist, and something is happening with it now. I think that's the point we have to look at. We'll be frustrated for one moment, and then we all have to pitch in, work together, and start coming up with the answers that we need.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Patrick,
thank you for your interest. And Lloyd, you're on.
Yes. How do you do?
Hi.
Okay. I have had a virus for about 15 years, you know, and I've done all kinds of experiments from every possible angle. And I think I've zeroed in on a way to deal with it, and using frequencies was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But all the established medical procedures, you know, that they have now, chiropractic, acupuncture, I use all of these in a chain, in a sequence, a specific sequence, and I'm able to do a similar function as far as knocking down the virus. So I'm basically my own guinea pig, a human guinea pig. And using a vibration is part of this procedure.
That you're using?
Yes.
And it's working?
Yes.
Well, obviously it is. You're talking to us.
Right. But like I say, it's not just the vibration that I use alone. I have to use a little bit of what I call psychic acupuncture.
Well, that's pretty hefty stuff if it's done right.
It is. Because it's the most accurate on an experiment that I did. It's the most accurate, and it gives you the most appropriate acupuncture points. It starts with a chain of command, and then one gets hot, and then you're able to get another one hot, and you go through your whole body and get all your points to where they heat up. But it requires, you know, steps that are unorthodox, because it involves fasting and it involves a certain kind of diet and having a little bit of orange juice for sugar, and it's a whole chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
But getting to your problem, how to get your thing on the market, see, I do all kinds of experiments to try to stimulate the procedure that I've already developed. And it seems like for your particular thing, could you put that together as like a stereo unit and put it on the market and sell it as, you know, like a biofeedback machine, or get away from the medical, because I already know dealing with doctors, you cannot talk to them.
I see. We could get those frequencies in a Walkman, and away we go.
That's it. In fact, you know, the one time I got tremendous results by doing a little of the procedure that I mentioned, using acupuncture, psychic acupuncture, stimulating my points with my own concentration, and then I put some headphones on, and I was listening to some music the next day, and I re-stimulated all the points by hearing the music in my headphones.
Well,
that's because I was fasting and was sensitive to, to that whole procedure.
You had some suggestions going there that worked for you.
Yeah. But as far as if you could put it together, a stereo system that would cost $1,000 a piece, where a person could operate this at home themselves and experiment themselves.
Everybody's little home do-it-yourself hospital.
That would be terrific.
Well, the comment, I would agree with a lot of the things. The problem is that there are a lot of safety factors that always have to be taken into consideration, and you're dealing with elements that can be detrimental. I don't want to be taking the hard establishment side, but that's why a lot of these things have to be checked out, have to be verified. Then the onus of getting them to the public is, this is where the system has to be changed, that when you finally get something that is beneficial, that it's not priced out of everybody's possibility of achieving. So in what we're talking about, we're not even talking about going out and marketing these. What we're talking about is not just the Rife microscope. The Rife microscope is the tip of an iceberg of a whole element, the electromagnetic spectrum, that has not been adequately pursued above board with good research money. And that's really, I think, the even bigger picture of what we're presenting here, that for every Rife microscope, there's hundreds of additional items and devices that should be reevaluated today to see how effective they are.
Well, like the MSO. Now, that was put on the market, but that is not really a healing cure or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying it isn't healing. What I'm saying is they put it on the market, and they sell it as a cleaning solution.
Yes.
And you may have to, like, sell your thing as some other, you know, piece of equipment in order to let people use it.
Right. And just a point that came to my mind, too, like, is that many people think that more is better. And like Steve mentioned earlier, they found that actually someone utilizing it once every 3 days versus once every day was actually better for the system. It gave it recuperative time. So that's something that you have to always be careful of, too, when it's, you know, used in the home.
People have a tendency to overwork certain things and to try too much.
Oh, yes, one aspirin. Oh, I've really got a headache. I'll take six.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, because I've done it myself.
We appreciate your creativity.
Mm-hmm. Now,
well, I my plan is, as soon as I finish the end of my experiments, and when I'm totally, which is I'm in the process right now of, like, you know, draining, when I finish my program, my plan is to train people to be able to do the procedure that I've developed on myself for themselves.
It'll never get off the ground. You're fasting. You know, people got to eat.
That's true. That's true. That makes it tough. But the thing is, if it's bad enough, you will do it.
You sure will.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, Lloyd.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Thank you,
Lloyd.
A very creative fellow. You're right.
That's right.
We're 10 minutes away from midnight on this Saturday night with Steve and Laverne Ross from the World Comics. Maybe see a free energy device or two. Joe Newman's going to be out there. You'll see his. He's going to have one there. John Bedini will be there. You'll get to hear some music. We'll show you some scalar activity that the Soviets have put into our very skies around us, and weather control and anti-ballistic activity. That's close to home. So it'll be quite fascinating if you come on out. We have Mary on the line. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
Oh, I've enjoyed your program very much, Bill. I've listened to you for quite some time, but this is the first time I've called.
Well, where you been?
Oh, well, I've been here. Oh, I want to tell Steve and Lori, is it?
Laverne.
You're doing a great thing for humanity, and just keep it up. But the thing that I do want to say is, you know, when human beings are experimented on with medicine through the ANA, I think that is the biggest crime of all. And there are an awful lot of people being experimented on. And as far as germs and things, you're very right, Steve, because, you know, well, I don't know if I ought to say this, but I'll go ahead and say this. Somebody is getting into my house, and they're getting into my refrigerator. And it has scared me to the point that every time I have any open food in my refrigerator that I'm going to use the next day or something, I take along with me if I'm going out. My daughter took me shopping one time. We came back, and we start putting the groceries away, and I pulled out one of the chairs, and the chairs were split. And this would be every time we would go out. I would sit down on a chair, and I would feel like something was crawling all over me.
So what is your question for Steve and Laverne?
Well, what I would like to know is this. Is there is a micro... Oh, I don't know if I can... there's a little bug in my house, and it looks like coffee grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Would you know what kind of a bug that was?
No, but I can tell you I've seen them before in the food. In my spices on occasion.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
They're like a little beetle bug type.
Oh, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it is, though. Sorry.
Yeah. You can't tell how dangerous it is.
No.
Oh, I see.
But call an exterminator. He'll come out and take care of it.
I have. And when he came, he says, oh, you don't have any bugs.
Okay.
And I said to him, I said, don't insult my intelligence. Have a nice weekend, all three of you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I don't know how to respond to that call of Mary's. I hope she takes care of the bug problem there. Okay, Vince, you're on.
Yeah, good evening, Bill and uh-huh. Steve and Laverne. I'm a friend of John F. Crane, and I just called him and got permission to, if you would like to hear, a class action suit that he has filed. I don't know whether it's current in your library, Steve, but this was filed June 3rd at the Southern District of California, the United States District Court. And it's called John F. Crane, Plaintiff versus the United States of America et al. For those people who have been looking for information, a copy of this can be gotten from John S. Crane. But it's case number, get your pencils out, 860076GT, and in parentheses it says CM. Hey, allow me, I'd like to just read the first two paragraphs, and I think it'll explain everything. It's a 46-page report.
First two paragraphs, and that's it.
Yes, okay. I, John F. Crane, plaintiff, herein declare under penalty of perjury that the cure for cancer was covered up since the 1930s. It has been a secret for 56 years since Royal R. Wright discovered the virus cause and the electronic devitalization of the virus working from 1920 on and in his research laboratory. It is a secret that it is a cover-up, this is the second paragraph, of the Medical American Association, AMA Association, and another example of a conspiracy in restraint of trade and commerce violation 15 of the U.S. Code, paragraphs 1 and 2, that resembles more of a medieval guild protecting its monopoly financial interests than a medical profession dedicated to public service under the Hippocratic Oath, and another example of a political system funded by the drug trust and desiring not to promote the public good when it clashes with a $357 billion monopoly for drugs, radiation, and surgery annually. End of second paragraph. It goes on and gets better.
Well, he spelled out his...